coming up on Simply Superior.
Simply Superior, news and issues from a superior point of view.
He's shut in because of the stay-at-home order, but his music plays on the air.
We are faced with two choices. We can live by love.
Plus,
we can live.
Hear the story of a young girl whose best friends are an opossum and a doughy descendant of fry bread.
Fiji is an Anishinaabe girl who lives near the shore of Lake Superior. Her grandmother is an expert baker, traveling animal medic, and part-time bird.
And tragically, if the Northland seemed relatively insulated from the coronavirus outbreak, it isn't anymore. The region now has its first two fatalities. Those stories after this.
Issues from a superior point of view.
Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. If the Northland seemed relatively insulated from the coronavirus outbreak, it isn't anymore. The region now has its first two fatalities. We'll have the latest details about them at the end of this broadcast. We'll begin, however, continuing with presenting radio performances by those who've had to cancel engagements because of the pandemic. One of those is Shane Nelson of Superior, who learned to play the guitar at age 6. His musical influences include the Beatles and Buddy Holly, and also his dad, who taught him how to strum his first guitar. He is a 2011 graduate of Superior High School, and in 2017 was the winner of WDIO-TV's Northland Idol. Last year, he won the Duluth Dylan Fest songwriting contest for his original composition, I Do What I Do. Shane performs in the Northland and throughout the Midwest as a solo act and with the band Crescent Moon. Welcome to Simply Superior, Shane.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And you are, if our listeners hear anything in the background, attempting to make your first pot of coffee as you remain sheltered in place, correct?
That is exactly right. I just learned how to pull the filter out. There's actually, every part of it's a new experience for me.
Right. I'm not going to ask how you got this long without making coffee, but...
It's because I drink a lot of soda, okay? So I went to the dentist, and then I had this wake-up call that, maybe if I wanted caffeine without my teeth hurting every 6 months, then maybe I should drink coffee instead of soda.
With your coffee, thank you for joining us on Simply Superior. One of your bios says that you struggled in school and faced childhood bullies, and I can't believe that would happen in Superior, but that later manifested itself in a song, Music Saved My Life.
You know a lot about me for never meeting me before. I don't think it had a lot to do with, you know, other people as much as it did have to do with who I was or who I am, I guess. I guess I kind of kept to myself as I just kind of spent most of my time just like playing guitar. And I mean, there's no difference between then and now.
It is a tough world out there and not unusual. Otherwise, we wouldn't even have the word bullying out there.
Right. You know, it's all about learning. And I think that, you know, bullying is something that's going to happen. I mean, it's not your fault, but I think from my experience, it's learning how to be social. And I think for a lot of it, you know, if you don't know how to be social and how to, like, communicate, you know, it's kind of leaves yourself vulnerable and open to be picked on. I neglected, you know, learning how to be social for a while because I spent so much time focusing on like playing guitar and music that I didn't take the time to learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm. But you did manifest it in song.
Well, in that song, I guess I was kind of thinking a little bit about a friend of mine who was a musician who played drums, and I was 13. We would play music together quite a bit, but he passed away. He died of a drug overdose, which is really too bad.
Right.
Because he was good at what he did, and I was just thinking to myself, that could have been me.
So that evoked memories of your earlier times and some difficulties in overcoming them.
And I should thank my mom and dad, you know, for trying their best to raise me right. But this little voice in my head is just knowing that the music saved my life.
Mm-hmm. So let's take a listen.
Been a rebel without a cause for me to speak of, one or two close steps away from the wrong person's advice. I could have seek my refuge in a needle, but I didn't save to save. For a good friend, it got the best of him. I still feel one and the same. I ought to thank my mom and dad for raising me just right. And this little voice inside my head just knowing that the music saved my life. Could have turned to the dark side when I couldn't hold my own, when the sticks and stones gone and broke my bones, and the words that cut like knives. The school was rough, I might have messed that up. Instead, I learned to fear my next day's fight. And I searched my soul and my headphones on the right home when the music saved my life. If I'd have heard these voices singing in my head right from the start, I'd never have to answer to the world that set me far apart. You find your place, you choose your fate. Call it a day, make no mistake. And you dance with every challenge that you face. That grows out of childhood dreams. You could choose a path so fast, fitting unnoticeably. When you're feeling strong, you just hold on, 'cause we only go around one time. And life's a song, so sing along. Let your heart be your guide. Let the music save your life.
That was The Music Saved My Life by Shane Nelson of Superior, who's speaking with us in Superior by telephone, where he is sheltering in place. So the WDIO Northland Idol, you won that contest. Was that for one particular song?
Well, it was an interesting experience. I played two different songs, and neither of them were songs that I wrote. That's kind of what I feel like that I specialize in, is writing songs. But it was more or less a singing contest. It was a spinoff of American Idol.
I assume so. So
American Idol.
So who did you cover?
Well, it was kind of interesting the way that it all worked. Oh, at the time, Chris Stapleton did a recording of the Tennessee Whiskey. He did a concert at the Amsoil Arena. And it was just like probably a day or two before this WDIO concert. And that's actually where it was held, was at the deck.
So his version was fresh on people's minds when you picked it up, right?
Yes, and that's kind of why I was playing at Little Angie's Cantina. Mm-hmm. There was nobody there. And then immediately after, I think everybody came out of the concert and went out to the bars afterwards. I remember playing that song and people were really into it.
Because it was still echoing in their heads from Chris Stapleton, right? Okay.
Right.
Well, hey, there's nothing wrong with riding on coattails. So last year, though, in the Duluth Dylan Fest, that was a songwriting contest and you had an original composition, I Do What
Yes.
I Do. Tell us about that. Yep.
That is one of my favorite things that I think I've done, because it's the most relevant to something that I feel like is who I am. I mean, nothing against the Northland Idol contest at all, but Duluth Dylan Fest gave me an opportunity, you know, for people to listen to the songs that I wrote. And there was a ton of people there that were listening, and they weren't wasted at the bars like they usually are. And they're actually listening. They're sitting down and listening to the song. Mm-hmm. And listening to what I had to say, rather, or listening to what everybody had to say. There's tons of musicians there, they're great songwriters.
Mm-hmm. So let's take a listen.
It's been a long time coming, and I can't say I've seen my day. There's very few truths that are absolute, and that's this one too. Oh, I've made a few impressions now, but what do you make if you saw what I do? When your eyes, they look away, you see you like to go to the movies. I stay out till it's late. I like to roll the dice and play some cards, don't know when to walk away. If there's something I'm missing, then my friend, well, the next drink's on you. I think I do what I do simply because I'm doing what I love to do. No, I don't make good investments, I'm not good on time. But if someone missed out, well, that's your loss, not mine. If you value my presence, then my friend, there's something in it for you. I think I do what I do simply because I'm doing what I love to do. No, it might not be for you to tell you the truth. Just something that I've gotta do, and I do.
That's I Do What I Do by Shane Nelson. It was the winning entry in the Duluth Dylan Fest songwriting contest last year, 2019. Shane joins us from Superior, where he lives, by telephone, which is what we do in the age of COVID-19, as he is sheltered in place, and so am I. And you are listening to Simply Superior with Robin Washington. You perform both as a solo act and with a band, Crescent Moon. So what sort of music do you do individually and together?
Well, yes, I do. I play by myself quite a bit. Gives me a chance to play out a lot of things that I've been working on. And with the band, it's nice because, you know, we bring in a little bit of flavor from these three other musicians that I play with.
So what's the difference between what you do alone and what you do with Crescent Moon?
I just wanted to go back to that I Do What I Do song.
Mm-hmm.
It's a song that I wrote when I was out playing out with the band Crescent Moon at a gig that we had. And basically, we drove about, was it maybe 80, 100 miles to this gig in the wintertime. I think it was last winter. It could have been. But, you know, we hook up the trailer, we get all of our stuff together, we shake off the cold, get inside this bar that we're about to go play, and, you know, it's dead. There's nobody there. There's nobody there, and you're kind of disappointed. And that's what I was, and I was just thinking to myself, why do we show up to these places? What's the purpose in doing this, you know? And then I just, like, getting all set up, and I'm just looking out into the empty crowd and the bartender cleaning tables, and I'm just like, you know what? We do this because we're doing what we love to do.
Right. This is what you do. Right.
This is what we do, and we love to do it. And whether or not there was people here or not, we would play, and we would enjoy ourselves. Yeah. Just as much as I did it as a kid and played to myself, you know, having no friends, and I just play guitar to myself. Just as much as I do it then, I could do it now and be just as happy doing it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have something by Crescent Moon as the whole group?
Well, I'd say one of the first songs that we did together as a group, a rock and roll song that we do called Keep It Moving.
All right. Let's take a listen.
Around, but you're much too busy, much too busy.
And that's Keep It Movin' by Crescent Moon.
Keep it moving.
That's right, including Shane Nelson of Superior, who joins us by phone, as he is sheltering in place, and so are we.
I think I've mentioned this to you before. I spend a lot of my time recording music in my room, which actually works out great. This COVID-19 and the lockdown and everything, for me, it works out because I've never released an album before, and I've been playing music for about 20 years. It's got to be time. Because if I don't have anything to offer people, you know, they're like, who's this guy? Oh, he wrote this song. Great. Where can I hear it? So I started a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. If you type in Shane Nelson Music, if you wanted to check that out, working on getting an album finished.
Now is a great time to do it.
It's a great excuse to finally get it done.
And we've been talking to Shane Nelson of Superior by phone from Superior as he is sheltered in place and working on that album. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And what do you want to take us out with?
Let's give it our best shot.
All right.
Everything will be okay if we do.
superior, news and issues from a superior point of view.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Tashia Hart is from Red Lake, Minnesota, and an enrolled member in the Red Lake Band of Chippewa. She writes essays and recipes about wild foods, including a wild rice cookbook in partnership with the Minnesota Historical Society Press. She's also the author of Girl Unreserved, a coming-of-age narrative told from the perspective of an Anishinaabe girl from a reservation in northern Minnesota. And in the realm of youth fiction, Gigi and the Wolves. That's the story of an Anishinaabe girl who lives near the shores of Lake Superior, whose best friend is an opossum. Her grandmother is an expert baker, traveling animal medic, and part-time bird. Tashia joins me by phone. Welcome to Simply Superior.
Hi, Robin. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks for joining us in this circumstances. First of all, how are you doing?
Well, the interesting thing is that my life hasn't really changed a whole lot because as a self-employed artist, I work from home a lot anyway. But I am finding, not being able to just go and go somewhere is a little stressful. We're actually down in Tulsa right now, and it's a beautiful day. So I think, going for a walk around the neighborhood is probably what I'll be doing today.
Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Yeah, we're on sort of a self-funded artist residency, me and my husband.
Mm-hmm. And that would be Jonathan Thunder, who is very much an artist in his own right.
Yep.
So is this a short-term residency, or is it a short-term one that may turn out to be a little bit longer than you plan?
Oh, it's definitely short-term. Minnesota is our home, and especially now we're kind of thinking, what are we doing down here? But we were actually going to be in Minnesota all this week because Jonathan had a talking engagement this coming weekend, so we were going to go visit his parents, but we had to cancel. So,
right. Well, visiting people is a little bit of a challenge, if not totally discouraged.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. Well, we don't need to belabor that, but wherever you are staying in place or traveling, certainly be safe. So tell us first about Girl Unreserved. It's a narrative, so is that biographical or memoir or composite?
So Girl Unreserved is kind of a combination. It's loosely based on my own coming-of-age story, and Winnow Six is the main character, and she's from Red Lake, like me. And she experiences a lot of things that happened either exactly like they happened to me or fairly similar. And then there's also elements of fiction, like the other characters in the story. They sort of have kind of like they're influenced from people that I know. And that Girl Unreserved is actually the first book in my adult series, Broken Wings and Things. And I'm working on the second book in that series right now, and that book's called Modern Orphan. Girl in Reserve was a novella, and Modern Orphan is going to be a novel, and it's going to be pretty much all fiction, and it's going to be more like a thriller. But Winnow Six is still going to be the main character in the next book, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Can you give us a bit of the plot?
Yeah, so Winnow Six, she's newly married, and her and her husband are celebrating their first anniversary, and to do so, they are traveling by canoe to a small remote island in northern Minnesota. And what they don't know is that the land there is full of spirits that are going to take them through these sort of historical narratives. They're fictional, so they're fictional historical narratives.
Your description of them going to the island and encountering the spirits sort of evokes contemporary, if you will, native idiom. And I don't mean stereotypically, but it sort of is stating some things as matter-of-factly that the majority culture wouldn't necessarily do. In other words, a majority culture would have a sort of introduction to the spirits, whereas in a more modern native idiom, just like goes into it. I'm showing my age, but I'm inspired by American Indian Myths and Legends, which I guess came out about 30 years ago now, by Richard Erdos and Alfonso Ortiz.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of the first mainstream book that hit a mainstream audience that stated things like that. You know, would say, Wolf came down by the river one day. Not so much that Wolf came down by the river one day, but Wolf got out of his car and came to the river one day, something
yeah.
like that.
You know? Yeah. I think that's kind of what I'm doing. And that's sort of more the theme in Gigi and the Wolves. So mm-hmm. there's kind of a lot of that in.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about that.
So Gigi and the Wolves is a new middle grade series. The main audience is for ages 8 to 12. And I'm hoping that, you know, it's crafted well enough to be interesting to people of all ages and backgrounds. So Gigi is Anishinaabe, and she is adopted into a family of intermediaries, which they're like go-between. They're kind of like a go-between species between like humans and animals, and they help both. You know, they help both sort of like communicate their needs. And I started having this series of really vivid, lucid dreams about animals from like 2017 to 2018. And animals coming to me in this way where they had sort of like human spirit blended in with like the animal spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know how to describe it.
Well, sort of like what I just said about Wolf getting out of his car and going to the river.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much like that. Right before this started happening, I had taken a break from writing for a while, and I wrote Girl Unreserved as a way to sort of, you know, heal certain parts of myself so that I could write more fuller characters. And that was in 2005. So by the time 2017 came, I felt like I was, you know, kind of healed up and put back together again pretty well. And that was the end of the process that had had going on for like the last two decades. So in 2018, I felt like I had enough inspiration to just start writing. And I wasn't really sure what the story was yet. And I wasn't sure like who the audience was.
But sometimes the only way to find that out is to just start writing.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Gigi and the Wolves. We're speaking with Tashia Hart. She's speaking with us from Tulsa, Oklahoma, where she's sheltered in place for now. And you sent me a clip of you reading from Gigi and the Wolves. So tell us what you have here to set it up for us.
Yeah, so this is the preface and about half of chapter one. And in the preface, we get introduced to who the intermediaries are and sets up the story that, you know, Gigi is adopted into this family of intermediaries. And in chapter one, you get to hear having a conversation with a living dough ball named Bluebell, who just so happens to be Bluebell's ancestors came from a piece of fry bread dough back in the 1870s, and she is now in the care of Gigi and Gigi's grandmother.
All right, let's take a listen.
Gigi and the Wolves. Preface. When humans first began to walk the earth, the other bipeds of the era pondered at the lack of animal features these new beings displayed. Sharing both animal and human characteristics, the older bipeds became known as the intermediaries, and took up the role of watching over the humans and animals alike. Over time, a communication gap grew between the humans and the other beings. Hostilities developed, and the intermediaries, many who were more powerful in physical form than the humans, soon became regretful of the brief warfare that had occurred between them. As a result, they decided to hide their dual nature from the humans until a time comes when the beings are able to understand one another. Between here and there, the customs and cultures of the intermediaries develop to bridge the gap between animals and humans, and they work hard to position themselves to be of service to both accordingly. This story is about a human girl adopted into a family of intermediaries. Immersed in this hidden world, she seeks to understand where she fits in and what her role will be. Chapter 1. The baking floor is on the third story down, not up, beneath the gentle piney sway of a boreal forest nestled near the shore of Gitchigummy. Above ground, late spring is abloom with an abundance of white forest flowers. Below, however, We arrive into our story beneath moss and humus, stone and root, and to the season of the young councils. Just as with anything that is born, grows, and lives in harmony with Mama Aki, the earth, the intermediaries have a rhythm to their coming of age. Setting off to form one's councils of peers is the first step towards self-determination. During this time of year, the head of every young intermediary in the Northern Hemisphere is in a tizzy, for any moment might be the one to start them off on their adventure. Their nervousness and anticipation are understandable, as a council is a bond and station that lasts a lifetime. As it happens, the head of one, just one, young human is also preoccupied with such matters. We find Gigi in her favorite knee-length bright red dress with a nettle twine apron tied at her waist. A flat square stone, black on one side and white on the other, hangs about her neck. And the humming. She is humming a very old hum, the kind that makes slime molds ooze and sway this way and that. The kind that can make water ripple, if ever just so slightly. Her black, waist-long hair is pinned to the top of her head, and she is covered here and there, nearly head to toe, in light blue mineral dust. This ought to do the trick. This time, it'll work for sure, she thinks to herself as she kneads gingerly. She holds up the little piece of dough, looking proudly at it for a moment before slipping it into the glass jar sitting in her shoulder bag on the counter beside her. She wipes her hands on a towel and gives them a good loud clap before digging into one of the pockets of her apron. She pulls them out, and they are a bright green. She climbs onto the bench just next to her and reaches out, picking up something that had been moving at a crawl towards the edge of the counter. She pulls it towards her and into the clean basin. She pauses her humming to look straight down at the dough she is now kneading. Oh, I don't know, Bluebell. If I was permitted, and if it was anything like what Aunt Florencia does, who knows where I could wind up, she says, trying hard to imagine the future. If I wasn't a human, of course.
You've just heard an excerpt from Gigi and the Wolves by Tashia Hart, who's speaking with us from Tulsa, Oklahoma, where she's on an artist retreat with her artist husband, Jonathan Thunder. Eventually, they will return to the Northland, but for now, they are sheltered in place.
Gigi and the Wolves has a lot of illustrations in it, and what's cool about that is that I penciled all the illustrations and then my husband, Jonathan Thunder, inked and colored them. So that was a fun part of the book for me to be able to work with him on that.
I was wondering if you two were collaborating.
Yep, it's been a fun collaboration. He offered to help.
Where can we buy it?
So it's coming out at the end of the month. And I'm hoping, you know, with everything that's going on, that's still going to be the case. Right now, it'll be available at Indigenous First Gift Shop in Duluth. It's on 2nd and 2nd in the Gamaji building. And also, like, Birch Bark Books in Minneapolis. And it's going to be available on my website, tashiahart.com. It'll be available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And if you're a small bookseller, you can order it through Ingram.
Great. And most important, again, is online. So once again, your website is?
TashiaHart.com.
And we are speaking with Tashia Hart. She is the author of Gigi and the Wolves, the story of an Anishinaabe girl who lives near the shore of Lake Superior, whose best friend is an opossum. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Robin.
We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. If the Northland seemed relatively insulated from the coronavirus outbreak compared to large urban areas like New York, it isn't anymore. The region's first fatalities associated with the virus were made public late yesterday. Iron County Public Health Officer Katie Hampston confirmed a death in that county with no further details about the person. And directly across the border in Michigan, Catherine Beer of the Western Upper Peninsula Health Department confirmed the death of an elderly Gogebic County male resident with underlying health issues. New cases were also confirmed this week in both Douglas County and St. Louis County in Minnesota, though no fatalities in either of them as of yet. Before the deaths in Iron and Gogebic counties were announced, I spoke about the myriad ways the pandemic is affecting all of us in the region with Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team and our own Superior-based Wisconsin Public Radio reporter, Danielle Kading. Here's our conversation. Hello, Brooks.
Hi, Robin. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And we're also joined by my Wisconsin Public Radio colleague, Danielle Kading. Hello, Danny.
Hi, Robin. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for joining us, too. And for the world to know, Danny is all the way in another studio because we are taking this quite seriously and, again, sheltering in place, all of us. So the main news this week that everyone should have heard of is both Minnesota and Wisconsin have or are just about to have some version of a stay-at-home order. Governor Evers came first, Danny. So what's the rules in Wisconsin now?
Yeah, basically it makes it so that non-essential businesses cannot operate and they're urging people to stay at home and limiting travel. Although that doesn't mean they're going to be checking people at the border or while they're on the road to see whether or not they are making essential travel for whatever business they might qualify for. But essentially it's very much the same as what had already been out there in Wisconsin. You can still go to the grocery store. You can still go to health care facilities and pharmacies. You can still, I think, go to your mechanic if you need to get your car fixed. Basically, it's just limiting the number of businesses that remain open to those that would serve the healthcare industry and provide those necessary resources right now so we can prevent the further spread of this virus and flatten the curve, as the scientists have been saying.
Right. Brooks, how about on the Minnesota side?
Yeah, we're just a day behind Wisconsin, and, you know, as Katie Galliato, my colleague, reported, she spoke with a UMD student at Keyport Liquors over in Superior earlier this week and saw the future. She said, you know, Minnesota's right behind. So we saw this coming, I think, and it's a similar order, if not, you know, essentially the same, that non-essential businesses are closing. People are being urged to stay at home, although not 100% required. And we are just sort of learning this new reality every day. We're still going to the grocery stores, but, you know, hopefully it's just once a week now and not every day.
Right. And that takes effect on 11:59 tonight, Friday night?
That's right. It'll go into effect Friday and remain in effect for 2 weeks. But bars and restaurants are going to remain closed through April.
Right. I don't know if your colleague Katie reported on this or not, but I saw something in your newsletter. Superior Mayor Jim Payne said, addressed rumors of bridge closings or people being asked for documents are false. Any more on that?
Yeah, well, that really caught my eye because 2 days in a row he had to go out of his way to say, like, hey, stop spreading these rumors. No one's going to stop you and ask for documents. No one's going to, you know, set up the National Guard at our interstate borders because, you know, all travel is going to be deemed necessary. And it's really still up to us as residents and citizens to say, I need to leave the house right now, and we really should be taking this seriously on ourselves.
Right. Those bridges are not international borders, yes.
Right, not yet.
Duluth also has closed 38 playgrounds?
Yeah, the city put into effect a lot of new regulations, precautions for their parks, and among those closing, of course, these very highly shared surfaces that is just, they're just impossible to keep clean to the point where children and families can feel safe using them. So it's another escalation in the fight against the spread of coronavirus.
Right, but people can still walk outside and they can still go on the lake walk, but again, social distancing and taking that seriously there, which means don't walk in a whole big group together of people who don't live in the same household.
Yeah, and right, one of the things that's different, too, about the stay-at-home orders between the states is that Minnesota's a little bit shorter than Wisconsin's, right? Any insight on that, Brooks?
Yeah, it feels like a political balance is trying to be reached between, you know, there's this national conversation about helping the economy and then helping just to stem the flow of the spread of the virus. And so I think they're just taking it sort of week by week, maybe, rather than taking these really long chunks of time. I fully expect, you know, to see more, perhaps extensions, but course, we're just going to have to wait for the administration to say so.
And speaking of the economy, there's a big economy story going on here, a $750 million project, of course, to rebuild Husky Superior Refinery, and that's being halted.
Right. I had asked Husky about that earlier this week, essentially what they were doing to protect workers during the coronavirus crisis, and they said that they would be halting the project, at least for now, affecting up to 150 workers who had been on it, although essential personnel are going to remain because they still have gas and diesel tanks that need tending and a wastewater treatment plant on site.
Another heavy industry item, our biggest, if you will, the Duluth Superior shipping season got underway this week. How's that working out? Do we know what boat went out?
The first boat to leave was the Burns Harbor, and it was headed toward Burns Harbor, Indiana, actually, with a load of taconite. And so that'll actually be back already this weekend to load again as the season gets underway. They're taking COVID-19 seriously in the shipping industry as well, as I learned. They are just making sure to watch crews and reporting sickness to the proper authorities, and they are being careful with who gets on and when. And when international shipping ramps up, they're going to take even extra care to not let people wander about at the locks, essentially.
Great. Danny, any more particular concerns on the Wisconsin side?
Yeah, one of the things that we've seen in northern Wisconsin this week on Sunday, a number of counties like Ashland, Bayfield, and Sawyer counties issued travel advisories before the governor issued his stay-at-home order. Basically, they were asking seasonal and second homeowners to stay in their place of permanent residence. Please don't come visit us right now. And they're doing that because they're worried that their limited healthcare resources would be overwhelmed, and also the limited number of staff that they have to address the ongoing response. And then after they did that, it looks like at least one northern Minnesota county followed suit. Cook County ended up putting a travel advisory in place, too, as well. So that has a lot of implications for people who would normally be leaving, you know, southern states or even the southern part of the state and coming back up north at this time of year, and also for the regional economy, which relies heavily on tourism. So a lot of impacts being felt with efforts to limit travel, whether it's through these advisories or through stay-at-home orders.
Right. And Brooks, I know your colleague Pam Luaggi has been working on that. Part of it is also the overtaxing of resources for those areas that people are visiting. In other words, the grocery store, the Super One that may be in Two Harbors, or a small store in Grand Marais.
Right. And if you look at existing resources in healthcare hubs like Duluth Superior, you know, they're already expecting to be stretched thin. So if you're sending people out to medical care in outlying communities, if they need it, then that's going to be, even tougher for them.
Absolutely. And obviously, the crisis is far from over. Well, we've been joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report Bureau. You can read his stories and those of his colleagues at www.startribune.com/northreport. And be sure to subscribe to their local newsletter. Thank you, Brooks.
Thank you, Robin.
And we've also been joined by my Wisconsin Public Radio colleague, Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Robin. You can find stories about the coronavirus pandemic online at WPR.org.
And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with, of course, once again, the music of Shane Nelson, and a reminder to stay healthy and stay safe.
We bought, what is the reason? 'Cause if we gave each other $20 each this season, every single one of us would just wind up breaking even. What can we do to offer something more? Something for the spirit. Given warmth, The rich one's heart was guiding north, but not a cent spent at the store. Little thought that